Okay. Okay, so let's see. We were in Perek Sheni, Mishnah
Zion.
Yeah,
sounds good.
The Marbez.
No, I'll get what's that?
The Marbez.
Marbez. Right. Marbez Basim, Marbez Rima. Right. Marbez Nechasim, Marbez Daiga. Okay, so we did Marbez Basim, Marbez Rima. Right, person's security in the body, you know, eating well and, well, indulging, overindulging. Security in the body is a false security. Marbez Nechasim, Marbez Daiga. Right? The person that's looking for the happiness through the Nechasim, many properties, right? So that doesn't really satisfy a person, right? Because he's looking for a certain security, certain fantasy, a certain image, guy's property, he can enjoy himself. But the reality is that the enjoyment wears off pretty quickly. The excitement of the property of the different nechasim that runs out pretty quickly, and then he's left with the practical maintenance. You know, once the person has all the property, he has to take care of it. Once he has to take care of it, then basically most of his relationship to the property is really just worry. You know, worry, concern, anxiety. But the enjoyment is really just a very quick thing. It wears off pretty quickly. Okay, because it's a limit to how much a person can enjoy property. I mean, it's just not, you know, he imagines it's going to be a great thing. He has a vacation home, this home, that home. It doesn't really, you know, it's better in the mind than in the actuality, because in the actuality, that's it. Okay, you're in the house. How many times can you enjoy the same home? I mean, it's not, it's just the enjoyment is just very short-lived. But when the person's planning on it, he doesn't think about the drawbacks, you know. Now, of course, once the guy has, so you tell me, well, if he has all these properties and he sees, okay, they're not that, you know, I was wrong. I see there's not really enjoyment. The enjoyment's not there. And I'm just stuck with, saddled with all this maintenance, worried, toil, efforts. And so why doesn't the guy just get rid of it? So get rid of the property. Right? Why is it Marbez Daiga? Why does he put up with the Daiga? If it's so stressful, let him just get rid of everything and that's it. He learned his lesson. You know what I mean? Well, why can't a guy do that? Because then it would seem that, okay, maybe you wasted a little time, you wasted, but it was an experiment, and Marbez Daiga, once the guy sees Marbez Daiga, then he sees it's a worrisome thing, so that's it. So get rid of it. You don't need it. Right, so I used to be, I was an appliance repairman. And I used to go into these wealthy neighborhoods, mansions, you know. And the only people I ever saw, when you're driving up to the house, you go, wow, man, this is a house. Like, if I lived in a house like this, this is real luxury, right? But after a while, I noticed the only people that I saw in these homes were the hired help or the maid. Nobody's living in these houses. I mean, obviously, people are living there, but nobody is enjoying the house. So where's the husband? I'm sure he's at work till 10 at night, right? And where's the wife? I'm sure she's out somewhere, out shopping, out. But nobody is sitting in the house. I never noticed anybody just sitting in the house, enjoying the house. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm sure the first, maybe the first week, relaxed, sat around, but I mean, how long can you sit in a house? Right? Once you're in the house, this becomes the status quo. There's nothing exciting about it. So now all you have is, you have to have a tremendous amount of expenses to take care of the house. Right? But if the person sees that this was really not what he expected, And now he's got all these extra financial obligations to take care of because of this huge the property that he acquired. I'm selling him, move back to his apartment. Right? Somehow or other, you don't see people doing that. Right? So why can't a guy do that? Why is he stuck with a daiga? Right? Why can't a guy just... That's it. Go back to the way you were. I can't do that for some reason. Right? Because once a guy has this thing, then he attaches... You see, like we said, it's not just the enjoyment the guy's looking for, but it's a certain security, a certain type of value. Ah, this is a house. You see? So once the guy puts himself in that situation, very hard to turn around, to go back. You see? Because once he has it, that becomes a value. He's an important person. People look at him a certain way. You can't just say, okay, that's it, I don't need this thing. You see, a guy like that probably would never go after the thing. But the thing is that a person attaches a certain value and self-worth to these things. So it's not just a pursuit after like a fantasy of enjoyment, but it's a pursuit after a certain image, self-image. You see, I'm a guy, I have property, I'm an important person. You see? So even though he has to suffer a lot with the worry and the anxiety and the efforts to take care of it, getting out of the situation is more painful. You see? Or he imagines it'll be more painful. It's a greater loss in his imagination. If he has to withdraw and go back to the way he was and just give up all these things, he's giving up all of his self-importance and all of his worth in the eyes of other people. You see, that's a very difficult thing to do. See, if the guy never went there, so okay, he's not so important, nobody's looking at him, and that's it. He doesn't need it so much. But once the guy commits himself to that, very difficult to pull out. Very difficult to pull out. See, it means a loss of his friends, a loss of his image. Not so easy. You see?
So,
yeah.
Can I ask you? So, you're saying it's like a status.
That's right.
Status thing.
Gives him a
sense
of
status. Also, is there, do you think there's like an idea of like, and maybe this is part of the same thing, that like, once he did it, he actually, he'll experience tremendous, like, the more energy he put into it, then he'll experience, like, the cognitive dissonance of, like, here I spent all this energy, and then it's not just giving it up, it's admitting that he's wrong, wrong.
That's right. That's
like,
right.
He either has to admit that he was wrong.
That's right.
And all of the energy he spent was wrong.
His whole
was a waste.
That's right. It's hard for a person to do that. Very hard for a person to do that. That's right. Okay. So that's the thing. Better not to commit to it. Right? Okay. So let's go a little further. So the mission says Marbe Nashim, Marbe Keshafim. Okay, Marba Shvachos, Marba Zima, Marba Avadim, Marba Gazel. Okay, so Rabbeinu Yonah, groups these as a group of three. Okay, so what is the group of three? So you have Marba Nashim, person has a lot of wives, Marba Keshafim. Okay. Okay, so Marbe Keshafim. Keshafim is like sorcery. Okay, what does that mean, sorcery? I mean, okay. But take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, Shlosha dvarim halalu acherim osin osam. So others do these things. Others commit these transgressions. Maila alav ki'ilu hu asal. But it's counted on him as if he did them. Okay, so marba noshim marba kashafim, the wives will engage in sorcery. Marba shfachos marba zima, if a person has a lot of servants, maid servants, marba zima, he's increasing zima, is sexual type of lewdness. Okay, marba avodim marba gazel. Okay, a person has a lot of slaves, a lot of servants, he's promoting gezel, thievery. Okay, so that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. He says, "V'chi yigzalu ha'avadim asher lo hu loke aleihem." Okay, when the avadim that he has steal, so hu loke aleihem, he receives an onesh. Because it's in his hands to prevent them. Af kieni yadeh, even if he doesn't know what they're doing. Hadavar alav mushloch. So the responsibility is on him. Ki chaspo zavohen, they're his property. Okay, so he says gam ki hashvachos mezanos imacherim. When the maid servants have relations with others, hadavar alav, it's his responsibility. Ki'ilu hu ba'atzma mezana imahen. It's as if he himself was mezana with them. Ki nevala nasa bebeso. Okay. Then he says, ki birvos hanashim gurim lahem shetasena keshafim laharbos ba'ava. So he's causing them to get involved in keshafim to gain his attention, okay, his love. Zos hasnua ta'ase pishnayim ad tatelavava. Okay, so they're in rivalry with each other. So they're going to carry out things to try to get his attention. Okay, and they'll become involved in nonsensical type of activities. Right? So they'll be involved in these type of nonsensical activities, and he's bringing about a situation where he's opening himself up to these various type of problems. Okay? So I just like to understand in general, what are the categories that the Pirkei Avos is, what category are they introducing here? In other words, they said if you're marbe wives, marbe avadim, marbe maid servants, what is that category of what type of riboy is that? These three things, yeah.
Control over other people.
That's right. That's exactly right. See? In other words, the first two categories, the first category was a person feels that he'll gain a type of happiness, a type of security in the self, in the body, through enhancing his body. Right? The second category, the Mishnah says, is a person feels that he can gain security and happiness through his property. Riboy of property, you see. But the third category that the Mishnah is talking about is that a person tries to gain that feeling from other people, you see, from the security of being in control of other people, you see. That's the third category of how a person tries to pursue this type of happiness, you see. So that's the idea. This, the other people also make a person feel important. The person has people working under him, gives him a sense of importance. So it's a fantasy that, wow, I have all these people wives, very important person. He has a whole staff here. Gives him a tremendous sense of self-importance. You see? But the thing is, so the Mishnah is saying that there too, it may be immediately, in the short term, a person feels important. Yeah, he feels great. His whole staff, people working for him. You see? But the thing is, it's a very short-lived thing. Again, you see, a person doesn't take into consideration when you have a staff, who are these people? You know what I mean? Who are these people that you're associating yourself with? These are lower level people. You have a vadim. You have people with their own defects. You see, and when you bring people, a group of people into your realm, you have to consider these people are going to have defects. You know, you don't think of that when you first start off. But the defects that a person has, now that becomes part of your life. See? So that pursuit is, again, the same kind of thing. A guy's trying to gain a sense of self-importance, but because of that, he has people now in his lives that have all kinds of defects. You see? And when a person, let's say, I mean, nowadays you don't really have it, but a person has many wives, so he's introducing a situation of jealousy, of rivalry, all kinds of problems, you see, which a person doesn't anticipate, never anticipates that in the beginning. Okay? It's an interesting thing. A person gets involved in these type of things, does not anticipate what he's bringing into his life. Right? Yeah. So but that's the idea. If it's marbe means you're getting carried away with this thing. It's an emotion that's pulling you in, and the emotion is blinding you to what eventualities are, what the results are. You see? But then the Mishnah goes on, interesting thing, because we asked this last time, because the Mishnah says, Marbe Torah. See, so it would seem from the Mishnah, Marbe is not a good thing. Marbe means you're overdoing it. When you're overdoing it, that's not a good thing. Right? But the Mishnah says, Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. Okay? So it's a funny thing. Why does the Mishnah use the same term? Marbe Torah? I mean, what do you mean? How could you be Marbe Torah? Marbe means, would seem to mean you're going beyond, you're going too much, right? But Marbe Torah, that the Mishnah says is okay, that's Marbe Chayim. Okay, so you take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonah. He has an interesting thing. He says like this, Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. He says, Zeh HaDavar Keneged Masha Amar Marbe Basar Marbe Rima. So this is contrasted to the beginning of the Mishnah, where it says Marbe Basar. He says She'al Yedei HaTaynag Yiskatzru Yamav. When it comes to the body, if a person overdoes it, he reduces his life. It's not healthy for the body. But he says Va'al Yedei Amal HaTorah Ya'arichun Yamav. But the Torah, through toiling, through the efforts of working on Torah, working amal in Torah, is actually yarichun yamav. It extends his life. Okay, so there it's amal. It's work. It's effort. It's a certain strain, but that strain is good for his life. He says v'gam kein hu keneged marbe nechasim marbe daiga, and also it compares to marbe nechasim marbe daiga. He says, Ki dagas hanachasim, the worry over a person's property is mekatzeres shenosav, is bad for him. That type of worry, that stress, is not good for the body. V'daigas haTorah, but worrying about Torah, the stress of Torah, af kihi daiga gedola. It's an amazing thing. He says, even though it is a tremendous stress, it is stressful, the maven kasher yachshov b'halacha, to understand, to comprehend, when he looks into, when he thinks about halacha, Ad yomer dover dover al afnav, until he is able to say a clear idea. As a guy's working in a Gemara, and he's really breaking his teeth. He is really, it's a constant feeling of, there's a constant strain. It is a strain. Till the person, he's working away, till he is able to reduce the Gemara to answer the questions and to reduce it to a clear idea. Guy could, it's a strain. It's a tremendous effort. You see? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's a daiga too. That's a daiga. Guy's thinking about trying to work it out. There's a certain stress there. He's not relaxed. I mean, that's not, guy's not sitting learning like this, like with a martini, and you know, it's effort. Guy gets up, he feels exhausted. You see? But he says, that daiga is different. He says, ach, ein yecholis le daiga hi lasos lo ra. That daiga is not bad for him. The Afa Pisha Omrim, even though they say, Hayado Nchali Halev, Hadaiga Klos Halev. So Yagon, the Yagon, like worrying or weariness, is Chali Halev. It's a, you know, Chali, like a Chol, I guess, a sickness of the heart. Hadaiga Klos Halev, and worry ruins the heart. Ach doeg b'torah, but if a person is doeg b'torah, orech yamim ushinos chayim, that gives him a long life and years of life. Is shalom yosifu lo. Okay. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, what exactly does this mean? I mean, is it daiga? Is it not daiga? If it's daiga, if it's worry. That guy's worried about the Gemara. I mean, he's straining. He's stressed. It's his certain stress. He's exhausted when he's finished. So that somehow is good for him. But if I'm stressed over my property and thinking about it and having to use effort to organize things that everything should work well, that's not good for me. I mean, what's right? How's he so sure that Daiga Satorah is good for you? Guys, stress. It's not relaxing. It's not a relaxing activity. Why is it so good for a person?
I mean, it's an intellectual activity that's not rooted in your emotions.
Okay.
The worry doesn't relate to an emotional, I think, it doesn't lead you into an emotional field. It's an intellectual
okay.
one.
Okay.
So the strain is more like on the intellect and on the body through exercising it, but that's like the correct application of your body and intellect.
Okay. Right. No.
So stress isn't necessarily inherently bad.
Right. Stress is not
for a person.
That's right.
It's just like whether or not they're involved in reality.
Right. Right. Stress apparently is not inherently bad. That's true. On the contrary, relaxation could be inherently bad. A guy's just relaxing has nothing really of importance to think about. That could be a bad thing, right? That causes a person harm. So stress is not necessarily a bad thing. Right, so the stress, so when is stress bad? It's not the stress really, right? In other words, right, when a person is stressful, how did you put it? When a person is stressful over something that pulls him into his emotions. In other words, when a person is stressed over, let's say, nechasim, right? What is the stress? What really is the stress? You see, what is the worry? You see? What is the worry, really? What's the real worry? Exactly. That he's going to lose his nechasim? Yeah.
It's like the self-image.
That's right. That's
lost
right.
The self-image.
That's right. The worry is about something that there's no answer for. You see? He's worried about his self-image. But he doesn't really have a self-image. He's worried about something that is not attainable. You see, he's trying. The worry is, who am I? What am I? What importance do I have? You see, the answer is, you don't have any importance. And if you'd recognize that, you wouldn't need any of these things, right? But the answer is, the stress is because he's trying to suppress something that's a reality. He's trying to suppress the reality that man is not important. You see, and that what other people think of you doesn't matter really. He's trying to suppress that reality, and he's trying to promote some kind of self-image that he knows really is not really doesn't really exist. It's something he's trying to create something that he knows is unrealistic. You see, that's a stressful thing. You see, but if a person is stressed in pursuing something realistic, you see, that is not harmful for the person. On the contrary, that gives him a purpose in his life. You see, that type of stress is a good stress because he's attaining something, a goal that's realistic. When a person is pursuing a goal that doesn't exist, that is real stress. You know what I mean? That's something that harms the person because there's no way. He knows there's no way really to attain that. You see? So it's like sort of the lack of any purpose in his life. That's the real stress. You see? That's why it's as if the guy has no purpose. Deep down he knows there's no purpose to any of this, to what he's pursuing. You see? That causes the guy harm. You see? But if a person is pursuing something that is a real purpose, it doesn't matter that he's engaged and that he's stressed and he's what do you call it, worried about it, because there's a realistic goal. Okay.
It's like viewing it as like a motivator. Like if it's a motivator to do something good, great. But if it's a motivator to
That's right.
motivate you to do something that really you shouldn't be motivated to do. So no wonder why.
That's right. No wonder why
you're
stressed.
Can do about it.
That's right. Exactly. And nothing you can do about it. That's right.
Maybe the person like senses that even, and that itself is.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. That's right. See, that's why. So, right. So what would we say? Why does the Mishnah use the same? Why does the Mishnah say mar b'to or mar b'chayim? I mean, what's the idea of mar b'to? Why isn't that? Why is that not? You know, why is that a good thing? Being mar b'betoro. I mean, what's the idea of that? Marbe. You'd say, no, that's not. Is that marbe? Right. You could say marbe about things that are not realistic. So he's marbe. He's going too far into the thing. Right, but is he going too far into Torah? I mean,
it's a funny word.
Also, that's a funny word. So it's really there is you can't say marbe when it comes to Torah, but it means that there is no limit when it comes to learning. There's a limit when it comes to things that are a means. Right, the body is a means. The chasim are a means. So a means you could say marbe. It means I went beyond the limit. I'm now engaged in this thing beyond its usefulness, because it's a useful thing, right? But Torah, you can't really say marbe in that sense. Torah is not a useful thing. Torah is the what do you call it? The purpose of all actions is Torah. You see, that's the person's main purpose, essence of the person is involvement in Torah. So it's they're not using marbe in the same sense. You know, that's impossible to say. I over exceed myself in Torah. You can only over exceed yourself if the thing is a useful thing. Now I used it beyond its use. You see, but if this thing is the goal, this is the end result of all actions. So there's no such thing as marba. The more I do it, the better. Right? So marba is being used in two different ways. Marba means here; it means it's infinite. It's infinite. There is no limit to Torah, because it's something that's the essence of the person. So all the actions that he does are for the purpose of a person pursuing the MS. So you can't say there's a limit to how much I should pursue the MS. There can't be a limit. That's the purpose of all my actions. Right? So the more I do it, the more I'm engaged in my ikar, in my essence. Right? So marba is, they're using the term marba sort of descriptively.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Okay, so let's see.
Could I ask you?
Yeah.
Could it be that Marbez is, like, does it always mean that, or can it mean in all the cases that, can it mean that which a person spends most of his energy on, or, like, would that, can you say that that's a definition for marba in all of them? Or is that not the plain meaning?
Yeah, you could say, you're right. I see what you're saying. You mean marba means whatever the guy spends most of his energy on.
Right.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, if the person directs his main direction of energy, that's good. If his main direction of energy is towards these other things, that's a bad thing, because he's overdoing it. But if the main direction of his energy is Torah, that's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, you could say that's good. Okay. Let's see if he has anything else here. Now he says like this: Marbe Yeshiva, Marbe Chachma. Okay. So actually, in the Rabbeinu Yoni, he has it both ways. All right. See, the Marbe Yeshiva, Marbe Chachma is in parentheses. Right. See, he switches it around. Really, he's got Marbe Chachma, Marbe Yeshiva.
What does yeshiva mean?
Good question. Let's see what he says. Rotsa lomar, chachmas hasvara v'hapilpul, she'al yedei zeh hu marbe yeshiva. Oh, so he's going with marbe chachma, marbe yeshiva.
Right.
So if I have the chachma of svara and pilpul, then that results in marbe yeshiva. Ki yavo hatalmidim lishmoa dvarim chadashim. Okay, because the talmidim come to hear dvarim chadashim. Okay, new ideas. Okay, so he means yeshiva means that it attracts if the person presents chachma and svara. It increases the talmidim that come to hear the ideas. Okay, ulhischareimo, the lilmod inyan hasvara hamischadeshes. Okay. Then he says, kihi chachma bifnei atzma. Verotza lomar shenosnin lo schar keneged kulam, kihu gorim. V'zeh ha'davar keneged Masha Amar Marbe Shvachos, Marbe Zima. Okay, so this is contrasted to Marbe Shvachos, Marbe Zima. Sheyesha Osin Acherim, Veroim Ki'iluhu Asahu, Lahara Olehetiv. In other words, he has an influence on the others. If he presents Chachma, so he influences others to engage in Chachma. Right? So what does he say? He says, Kiyavo ha-talmidim l'shmoa dvarim chadashim u'lizchadedimo, to increase in sharpness with him. The lilmod inyan hasvara hamischadeshes, and to learn the inyan of svara hamischadeshes. Kihi chachma bifnei atzma. What is it? The svara of what do you call it? Of being mischadesh ideas, the method, right? It seems to say, it seems to mean that's a chachma bifnei atzma, like the chachma of how to uncover ideas. Is that?
Isn't Hamid Chadeshes modifying the Svara?
Say that again?
Isn't Hamid Chadeshes modifying the Svara? It's like an adjective?
Yeah, so what would that... So how does that... How do you understand that?
They come to learn the emerging Svara.
Okay.
Well, the more Indian has Svara Hamid Chadeshes.
Yeah. To learn the...
Meaning he's coming back on the Talmidim, what they're coming to do?
So that they're coming to learn the process of svara, right? Is that what he's saying? He says ki chachma bifnei atzma, the chachma of the derech of limud.
How is it different than the first svara?
Yeah, lishma devarim chadashim.
Say that again.
Now, how is it different than the first svara he mentions? Chachma svara v'yapelpo.
Isn't
Chachma Sasvara about people referring to what the guy has, Marbe Chachma?
Yeah. Chachma Sasvara.
Gives the Chachma
people. What does it mean, Chachma Sasvara?
Is it Chachma?
What does it mean, Chachma Sasvara? I mean, it's a Svara. What do you mean, Chachma Sasvara? Chachma Sasvara, right?
It's the method.
The method. Like, Chachma is the art. Right? That's what you mean by Chachma. Chachma Sasvara Vahapilpul. The art of Svara and Pilpul. Right? The Chachma of Svara and Pilpul. How to approach Svara and Pilpul. That's a Chachma. That's a Derech. To learn a derech of proper svara, proper ideas, proper investigation. Right? That's what he says, ki hi chachma bifnei atzma. That's a chachma. You don't just come to hear the ideas. You're coming to see. That's right. To learn how to do it. To see, learn the derech of learning.
Now, what's the differentiation between the first part and the second part? Yevo atalmidim lishma dvarehem. Is that supposed to say dvarehem or dvarim chadashim?
I have dvarim chadashim.
Yeah, you have dvarim?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dvarim chadashim v'lichadad imo. And to be sharpened, to like gain precision?
Yeah, gain precision, yeah. They hear dvarim chadashim.
Yeah. That sounds like not chachma, not the method.
What do you mean?
No, that's in their approach towards it.
Right.
Oh.
Meaning in the method itself, there's precision, to learn precision.
In the method itself, that's right.
But I think, where you going on this, because this is what I was wondering about, in terms of the Talmidim are coming l'shmo dvarim chadashim l'shchad dima, right? That's one thing they're doing. V'lilmod inyan hasvara mischadashes. Is that a second thing that they're coming to do?
K'vot Talmidim l'shmo dvarim chadashim.
Right, they're coming to hear dvarim chadashim.
Yeah.
And then to be l'shchad dima.
Okay.
And also v'lilmod inyan hasvara mischadashes. So those three things that they're coming to do with, I guess, the Rebbe. So, what is the difference between Lishmoa Dvarim Chadashim and Vilu Morin Hasfar Mes Chadashim?
Right.
Oh. I mean, Lishmoa Dvarim Chadashim is not referring to the method, it's just referring to the ideas the Rebbe's talking about.
Yeah.
And then as far as
good.
That's how he's going to get.
That's right. To hear the ideas and learn, that's right. The inyan hasvara and learn the method.
And then kihi chafa b'pnei atma is going on the svara mischadeshes.
That's right. Exactly.
That's right.
So
that is the same as the first Chachmas Hasvara he mentions?
Yes.
It's like a progression, I think. In terms of, like, he's starting off with Chachmas Hasvara, and then the Svara Mischadeshes, it would be the same thing.
That's right.
And then there's a progression in terms of hearing things, hearing Dvarim Chadashim, then to be in Mischadei Dimo, and then you get that Svara
Mischadeshes. That's right. They hear the ideas and see the sharpness, and then they're able to pick up the Svarma HaMeschadeshes. That's right. Yeah. That's very good. Gihi Chachma B'fnei Atzma. That's amazing, yeah.
He's real brisker.
What's that?
He's real brisker, man.
He's a brisker, right? That's right. Interesting. So really, yeah, Marba Yeshiva, Marba Chachma makes no sense. What do you mean? They come, if many people come, you'll have a lot of Chachma. What do you mean? No, if you have a lot of Chachma, Marba Yeshiva.
Yeah, that's why Rashi has, seems like he's learning Marba Yeshiva, Ishel Tamidei Chachamim.
Rashi has, I see, of a Marba Yeshiva.
Because it can't just be Marba Yeshiva, it has to be a certain kind of people in order to get Marba Chachma.
Oh, I see. Oh.
He's
learning that the Rebbe, he's learning that the Talmidim
are the Yeshiva.
Increase the knowledge of the Rebbe.
Oh.
Right? Because he's saying, Marbe Yeshiva Shel Talmidi Chachamim, Marbe Chachma Shemacharin Umachkin Mach. The more Talmidim, the greater Chachma that the Rebbe.
Oh yeah, and he does bring them more in Tainus. I think it says that the Rebbe learns most from Talmidim.
Interesting.
But it's also true that when you have Talmidei Chachamim, it's Marbe Chachma in general, not just the Rebbe.
Yes. I mean, because if you have Talmidei Chachamim, that means you're encountering, you have to interact with other sharp people.
Yeah.
You can't just say anything. Right. But it will be the same. You know, is that process will be realized to the greatest degree in the Rebbe.
Yeah.
Right. Even though each the Talmidim themselves will gain from that process insofar as they have to present to the other Talmid. But the process is because the first you have somebody questioning you. That's good. That's an interesting thing. So, so really, in other words, he's saying with the other things, with the other pursuits that a person engages in when he's marbe, it actually creates a negative. Right? If a person is marbe in the other activities, it's worse for him. Right? The enjoyment diminishes. And as if I'm not marbe in those activities, I have a few things, not a lot of nechasim. I indulge the body just as much as it needs. So I have the enjoyment. And as I'm marbe, it takes away the enjoyment. Right? The more a person engages in those activities, the less enjoyment he gets. Because now he has more things to worry about. But it turns out with Torah, it's the exact reverse. Because the more a person engages, right, it's good for him. It promotes his life. It gives his life a purpose. But also, the secondary results actually promote it even further. Because as he gets more knowledge in Torah, he attracts other individuals, other Talmidim. And that enhances his Torah itself. You know what I mean? That secondary result doesn't, it works as it promotes his goal. You know what I mean? It promotes the benefit that he gets from Torah. It increases the benefit. Because he has the Torah, others now want to join him. And because others are joining him, it causes an increase in the Torah. You know what I mean? The exact opposite is the other pursuits. The unrealistic pursuits, the more he does, the worse it is. With this pursuit, the more he does, the greater it is. Which makes sense, because since the pursuit is in line with the essence of man, so it turns out that when he engages in it, other people will join him, because now he's engaging their essence. You see, once they join him, it enhances his activity. His activity is enhanced by others. You know what I mean? Whereas if he's doing the other activities, the unrealistic activities, the more he engages, the worse it is, because it's not his ikkar. So now he's making a tefillah into an ikkar. He's not built for that. So he's actually reducing the benefit that he could get. Whereas if he's engaging in an ikkar, so the more he engages, the greater, because this is his essence. So therefore, the more he does it, the greater he partakes of life. You know what I mean? Of the essence of his life, the greater happiness he's going to get. And since it's an ikkar for man, so every other person that he comes into contact with, they will benefit, and it'll cause him a further benefit. Because you're dealing with the person's essence. So anything that has to do with the person's essence, it has to be, the more he partakes of that essence, the greater benefit he gets. Because the only reason why the more you partake of an accident, the worse it is because now you're going against your essence. In other words, if the guy's partaking of something that's not his ikkar, like let's say, for instance, a hand. Let's say I spend all my time trying to improve my hand, but I'm going against my essence because the hand is like an accident. So if you cater to the hand more, you're not in line with what the hand needs. So you're going to destroy your body. You see? Because that's not the essence. So you're making an accident into the essence. So the essence of man, you're not promoting. So the person has to be unhappy. Right? That's why if a person would spend his time with an accidental part of his existence, he'd be very, very unhappy. Spend all his time worried about a chair. He's going to be very unhappy. Why? Because he's ignoring the main essence that interests him. You see, the main essence of his life, he's ignoring, so he has to be unhappy. Whereas if a guy directs all his energy to that thing that's his main interest in life, the more he does it, the happier he has to be. Because he's in line with that thing that's his main interest. You see? So he's saying that not only that, the happier I will be, but others will join me. Because since it's my essence, it's their essence too. Now when they hear this, they're going to go, oh, they're going to be drawn in, because now I'm appealing to their main interest in life. Yeah.
What's what I feel like I don't have clarity as to what is the essence that we're referring to. That someone who's interested in the chair is not partaking in that essence.
Right, because a guy that's interested in a chair, what's the purpose of a chair? A chair is just I should be able to sit. But why do I want to sit? Just to sit? Well, that would be good if my essence is sitting. Like if you could find an animal that his whole essence is to be in a certain position. And when he gets into that position, everything in his nature is fulfilled. So then you'd say, yeah, all that guy wants to do is involve himself in the chair and be in that position. And when that creature is in that position, his whole nature is satisfied. You see, then he'd be in the greatest state. You see, but if you have a creature whose nature has something, an additional feature, not just a body, but its nature has to do with thoughts, its ideas. And everything he does, everything that creature does, is governed by those ideas. When he sees an idea this way, he goes that way, runs after that. If he thinks his happiness is here, he runs after that. So everything he does, you could trace back to thoughts that he has in his mind. Any action, the stupidest action that a person does, if you trace it back, you say, oh, why did he do this? Because of that thought. You see, so it's the thought that governs everything he does. It's the thought patterns, you see. So the most important thing to a person is his thought patterns, what he thinks. You see, that's going to govern everything. Okay? So if that is the thing that's the ichor of the person, his mind and his thoughts, you see, that's what determines who he is. See, anything he does, it has to do with what he thinks, how he thinks about this thing. See, all of his happiness is tied in with his mental, with his ideas, the ideas that exist in his mind. You see, so a person's never happy if he feels I'm doing something stupid or I'm doing something that's unrealistic. A person always wants to do something and he feels, well, this is true or this is real. I don't want to just have an imaginary thing. I want a real thing. You see? So it's the idea in his mind that there's something real that I want to be involved in. See, that every person has. So if a person pursues that part of his nature, you see, to comprehend what's real and to be in line with what's real, you see, then the guy could be happy. You see, but if the guy ignores that part of his nature, then no matter what he does, he's not going to be happy. See, you notice, if a guy runs after a certain goal, then in the back of his mind, he knows it's stupid. He knows it's stupid. So then no matter how much he's going to run after it, you see, in the back of his mind, he always has to somehow push off that idea that this is a stupid thing. You see, so a person like that, it's impossible. He's going to be happy. And the more he's marbe, the more uncomfortable he's going to be. You see? So therefore, that's what it's saying. That if a person pursues that goal that is really the underlying goal of man, to be in line with reality, if a person pursues that, he's going to be happy, and other people are going to be attracted to it. You see, like you take a guy that has true ideas. So somehow or other, people hear, they go, well, immediately they want to be involved in that. Because when a guy hears something true, he's naturally, well, we have to follow this. Not going to say, well, the only thing he could say is I don't think it's true, right? Or he could deny it. You see, but if a person hears something that's true and goes, wow, I never thought of that. That is, and that's an underlying thing in life, immediately the guy, he wants to be part of this thing. You see? But any goal that a person pursues that can't be justified really, rationally, has to be cause him internal conflict. Has to cause him internal conflict. I don't care what the guy's doing. Right? Like the greatest investor, Warren Buffett. Right? So what was his whole life? To make money. Okay, but what's the purpose of making money? Well, what do I need this for? So what does the guy do now? He gives it all away. We have to give it away, because if I would give it to my kids, it would be the worst thing for them. It would destroy them. So what do? I'm going to make all this money and I'll give it away. Okay, so what did you do with your life? You acquired something and gave it away. You could have made it much easier. Don't make it to begin with.
Yeah,
you have to give it away.
I mean, if his purpose is to, like, when he has all the money, you know, he starts, like, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which reaches out to poor countries and gives them vaccines for diseases.
Okay. So the guy could have spent his life going around the world and trying to go in the Peace Corps, helping individuals.
Right.
Well, that would be the greatest life for him, apparently, if that was his life goal, just to help other people. Why did the guy have to do this for 80 years? Just go. You don't have to, you know, you live on a few dollars. What do you need? And you go into these countries and give people vaccines.
And if the impact of millions of dollars versus going around in the Peace Corps is much more valuable than...
I mean, is that the guy's cheshbon? Is that the guy's cheshbon? And that's when he started off.
And if it was, then it's okay.
What's that?
If it was, then it is part of his essence to make a lot of money.
If what? I'm sorry?
If making a lot of money was aimed towards the goal of helping people, then that's justified.
Well, obviously that's nobody's goal. I mean, there's no realistic person, no person in the world that does that. In other words, that engages himself for 80 years to make as much money as he can, and then and has this purpose in mind. I don't think there's any rational person that would do that, right? If a guy is interested in helping people, then he could go into a medical field of trying to invent, trying to discover what do you call it, cures for people. I mean, that would be a more direct route than do this, go into Wall Street for 80 years. I mean, practically, we know it's not true. I mean, no person does that. Now, as a person going for a career on Wall Street, it's because he's interested in making money. There's no person in the world that can make that much money who would not have an interest in making money. It wouldn't make any sense. You know, his real interest lies in helping people. But he is such a tzaddik that he's going to involve himself in a painful task for 80 years of accumulating money, which he has no interest in accumulating money, and he's delaying his ultimate love in life is to give out medicine to people. It doesn't make any sense. Obviously, the guy's pursuing this is because his real value is, and his love in life is to acquire money. And that's no person would be successful if he didn't have that love. It's not possible. You see, so that was his goal in life, to acquire money. But the problem is that when he reaches the end of his life, he realizes, well, what do I need this money for? Right? I can assure you, he didn't think of this when he was 30. Right? When he was 30, he didn't even think about it. His goal was to make money. Why do I want to make money? I'm not. That's not part of the equation. You see. But when a person hits 80, he starts to think, "Hey, why did I do this? I can't do a stupid thing." So therefore, I have to make alterations that will justify why I did this thing. Oh, now it's a logical thing. You see, the person always has to be doing something that makes sense to him. That's the problem. You see, now when a person realizes, when he can't deny that this makes no sense, now he has to invent something else. You see, but the truth of the matter is, I'm sure he knew this all along. This doesn't really make sense. But you suppress it. You suppress it and go forward with sort of somehow justifications in the mind. You see, but there's no person that logically goes out and says, this makes sense. To do this is a worthy goal for my life, to accumulate billions of dollars. That has a real purpose. And it's nonsensical. It's a purposeless action. See, that's the problem. But at the end of your life, you don't want to think, I spent my whole life doing something purposeless. So you have to now convert it into something that has a purpose. Of course, this purpose itself, what is the purpose of this really? To save other people's lives. Okay? Sounds good. But what is, how could you, but still and all, what's the purpose of life? You're saving other people's lives for what purpose? And as if you've never answered the question, what is the purpose of life? So it doesn't even make sense to give the money away to other people. Because what is the purpose of life? So you're saving these people. Okay, for what? You see, so somehow or other, a person never gets to that point, which is crazy. But if the person would discover, well, what is the purpose of life? It's promoting the truth. The man should have an idea of reality, idea Hashem, you see, and a person should have a recognition of a true reality, so then maybe he would give the money somewhere else. Maybe give the money to promote knowledge, you see, or to find a person that has some kind of real knowledge and promote that. Or maybe those people don't need your money. Maybe there's no purpose to the money. You see, but whatever it is, it's clear that this was not the person's cheshbon. You see, so why did this become the cheshbon right now? The answer is very simple. Because a person has to be in line with what he thinks is a reality. Can't be in line. You can't say, I'm doing a thing and it has no reality. You can't do that. Why is that? Because the ikar of a person is his idea in his mind that there is a reality. There's a true reality. You see, that's the ikar of a person. So insofar as a person pursues that part of his nature, he's operating in line with his ikar. If he goes against that part of his nature, then he's just promoting things in his personality that are tafel. You see, and insofar as he does that, he cannot attain happiness. It's not possible.
So as long as he relates to those tough things as tough, then they are still there within in line with like his with like
that's right.
A proper way of living.
That's right, isn't it? Right.
Like if you engage in pleasures, but it's in line with realizing that they're just pleasures in and of themselves, they're not valuable.
That's right.
Then it's okay.
Then the person's acting rational. The person says, "Well, how much money do I need?"
Right.
Okay.
So when you're marred by the tough, that it's
right. Why am I going beyond what I need? I don't need this. So now why am I doing it? There must be some reason. What's the reason? Mm-hmm. There must be a reason. So you can't say there's no reason. So what is the reason? There must be a reason in the man's mind. One reason could be I'm going to live forever. Of course, a person can't say that because it's stupid. But that is a very powerful reason. I may need $20 billion because I'm going to live for 20 billion years. On the contrary. Right? Or my kids need it. My kids' kids. My kids to the thousand generations. You see, but there is some reason in the mind. There is some reason in mind. You see, so that's the problem. The problem is that he's doing something that he can't really. He's following a certain motive that's not realistic, and he has to be able to suppress that part of him that's reasonable, that's rational. And that's a guy can't. That type of life cannot be the ultimate life for man because he's missing out on the real liquor. Missing out on the real liquor. I mean, a person like that could be using his chachma to really uncover ideas. Instead, he's using his chachma to buy companies. I mean, so the enjoyment of ideas the man's missing out on, the whole liquor. See, the fact that a person could say he's enjoying himself, he has a great time, it's very exciting, that doesn't mean anything. Because you could take a person that enjoys a certain activity and he thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. And then you show him something else and he goes, whoa, that's nothing. I wasted my time with that thing. While he was doing it, he thought it was a great thing. You see? But that doesn't mean that he's really having the true experience of life. You see? It's like the Rambam says, that we can't understand what Olam Haba is like. We can't relate to it, to the great enjoyment of Olam Haba. But he says, I could give you a mashal. He says, when a child first goes out into the world, he thinks that playing ball in the street is the greatest enjoyment that there could ever be. I guess they had that back then too, because he gives that mashal. Playing ball in the street is like, that's all the kid wants to do. Wakes up in the morning, get out there and play ball. You see, as the kid gets a little older, he progresses to another thing, and eventually he'll progress to, let's say, he could become a king. So a king, this is a great thing, right? Now, if the king, when the kid was playing ball in the street, he would look at a king or adults, whatever they do, no interest in anything. Dang, he wouldn't do that in a million years. He wouldn't want that position at all, you see? Now, once the person becomes a king, if he thinks back about playing ball, he goes, that was nothing compared to what I have. Like, would the guy give up being a king to play ball in the street? He can't even relate to that enjoyment anymore. You see? So he says the same thing with Olam Haba. That a person, when he had would have the enjoyment of Olam Haba, he'd look back at these things and it would be like nothing. You see? So it's the same thing. If a person is playing ball in the street and thinks that's great, okay, because the answer is, that's all he has. You see, that's all he has. But if he would know what else there is, what he's missing, so that's the thing. So you can't judge based on a person that doesn't know what chokhmah is. He says, yeah, this is great, doing all these things I do, because he doesn't know what chokhmah is. If the guy would know what chokhmah is, he'd say he wouldn't do that for one more minute. He'd be bored. Right? That's an interesting thing.
So, in the sense of like looking at Marbe, we can see the Mishnah saying Marbe in regards to things that are Iker and Marbe in regards to things that are Tafel.
That's right.
And anytime it's a Tafel, then it's by definition a Marbe is taking it out of its
That's
proper
right.
place.
That's right, exactly.
But the Marbe of the Iker, that is what we're supposed to be Marbe in.
That's right, exactly. That, you can't have too much of that. That's the Iker.
Yeah.
Too much, you're not ignoring anything else. You're not there's no distortion. That's the Iker. Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
Okay.